Please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and this morning as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we'll be thinking about the sacraments of the Lord's Supper as a seal of the covenant of grace. We'll see in Romans 4:11, we find the terminology of circumcision being both a sign and a seal. So let's give our careful hearing to the Word of God. I'll be reading verses 9 through 12. And congregation, this is the Word of God. Is this blessing, then, only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How, then, was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Amen. That is the word of God, and we fully trust our great God to bless the reading, preaching, and hearing of it to us today. Well, I think that most of you have probably heard the sacraments defined as signs and seals of the covenant of grace. And as we think about that definition, I think the first part of it is much easier for us to grasp. The sacraments are signs. We know what a sign is, and I think most Christians today understand that the sacraments are signs. They point to something else. They point to the realities of the gospel. They're signs of Christ's body given and his blood shed for us. But I think maybe the harder question to answer is, what does it mean that the sacraments are seals of the covenant of grace? And that will really be our focus this morning. We'll think a little bit about how the sacraments are signs, but more so about how they are seals. And as we think about the sacraments as seals, I want us to grasp two key points to begin with. First of all, that term seal is a key biblical term that is used to tell us what the sacraments are. It comes right out of Romans 4:11. The sacraments are not only signs, but they are also seals. And it is that term seal that really marks out the Reformed view of the sacraments from others. For example, in our shorter catechism, number 92, we read, through sensible signs, God represents, seals, and applies Christ and the benefits of the new covenant to believers. And second, and related to that first key point, is that Christ's spiritual presence in the Lord's Supper is the only thing that explains why and how this sacrament is a seal to us. Because what we will see in the end is that it is Christ himself who is the seal of authenticity. Who seals to us all of the promises of the gospel? It is Christ himself. And we need to remember what The Bible calls this sacrament. It calls it communion. And I think for some of us, I don't know. I know I grew up and I heard the term communion, and I thought that meant that we all communed with each other and ate the bread and drank the wine. But Paul makes the point that while we do commune together, it's called communion because we have partnership, fellowship, communion with Christ at this table. Now, let's first think about, and this is a bit of review if you have a good memory. If not, then it's going to be brand new to you. But I spent a whole sermon a few months ago thinking about how the bread and the wine are signs for you, but they're also signs for God. And so let's review that briefly. It's, I think, worth noting that the first six times in the Old Testament that we find the Hebrew term for sign, it appears in the phrase sign of the covenant. And that tells us something, that God has always known the weakness of our faith, our propensity to doubt His promises, and so He's been pleased throughout history to give signs of the covenant. Visual confirmations of His promises. Visible signs of His invisible grace to assure us that He loves us and He will be faithful to us. And Jesus built on that well-established pattern in the upper room when He took the bread and He took the wine, and He said, "This is My body and this is My blood." And so this sacrament is a sign to us. It's a visible sermon wherein Christ crucified is set before us. There's spiritual realities that are pointed to. That Christ has died for your sins, that you belong to Him, that you're members of His household. And so God gives signs for us. But if we look closely, we find that these are also signs for God. God makes an important point when He gives these signs. We read from Genesis 9, and God said, "When I look at the rainbow, when I see the rainbow, I will remember My covenant with you." And we see the same emphasis in Exodus chapter 12 when God says, "I will see, when I see the blood of the Lamb on your doorpost, I will pass over you." And so these signs are given, and both parties in the covenant see these signs. Just as a husband and a wife both wear a wedding ring, they both see that sign. The same is true in the covenant of grace. Both parties see the sign. And I hope you see the love and the condescension, and kids, what that means is God stoops low to communicate with us in a way that we can understand. God does not forget His promises, and yet to a people who are prone to forget, He gives these signs to reassure us that He never forgets His covenant. When God sets this table before us today, He is saying, "I'm going to see these. I'm going to see these signs, and I will remember My covenant with you." It's an amazing kindness and encouragement to us. God never forgets His promises, but He's pleased to say to us, and He's pleased to assure us, that He will never forget us. And so today, we look upon these signs, and you are reminded of Christ's body broken, His blood shed for you, but you're not the only one seeing the sign. God is looking upon the same sign. He's remembering His covenant with you. He's saying, "I am being moved to mercy and grace when I look upon those signs." And I think that's really where our hope lies. Our hope is not in our ability to remember. Our hope is not in our faithfulness to the covenant, because we know that we don't remember Christ as we should. We know we're not faithful to the covenant, but our hope is that God remembers His covenant. Our hope is that God looks upon these signs and He remembers His covenant with us. It's a remarkable thing that by these signs you are being reminded that God never forgets His covenant. That Christ's sacrifice for you is effectual as it was 2,000 years ago. And so in this way, the sacraments are signs, both for us and for God. But what does it mean that the sacraments are seals? And so let's begin to think about this and how it's really a seal of authenticity. In the ancient world, communication was very difficult, it was slow. And even the most powerful kings had to rely on messengers who might not make it to their destination. And once they arrived, they had to prove that the communication they had was authentic, that it was really from the king. And that's where a seal came in. And we actually read of this in the Bible. You read of it in the book of Daniel, where a bit of wax was placed on that document. And the king had a signet ring, and he pressed his signet ring into that seal, and it was his personal seal, his guarantee. And when someone received that communication, they were assured it wasn't a forgery, but this really was the word of the king. And we still have things like this today. You know, our driver's licenses have seals, these little holograms, they're seals of authenticity. A diploma, loan papers, different things will have a seal embossed or impressed upon them to guarantee that they're real. And so you can think about it this way, that a diploma is the sign, and yet it is sealed to you as the graduate with that special mark, a seal of authenticity. And so a seal is, it's something that authenticates, something that confirms, something that certifies. It's really a guarantee that something is real and true. And that means that the bread and wine which signify the gospel to us really have an extra assurance, an extra guarantee built into them, in that they bear the personal seal of our King and Savior Jesus. And I hope you can see the great kindness and love of the Savior in this. He gives us these visual aids to the gospel to help us believe the gospel. But then He goes a step further. And He puts His own personal seal of authenticity, His own personal guarantee, and says the realities that are signified here are real and they are true and they will never fail. That your sins are forgiven, that you do belong to me, that I will never leave you or forsake you, and those promises have the personal seal of the Savior upon them. And as I mentioned from the beginning, the only way that the sacraments can be true seals to us is if Jesus is truly present by His Spirit at this table. The only way that can happen is if there is a real communion with Jesus. Because in the end, Jesus Himself is the seal. He is our seal of authenticity. It is His life of obedience. It is His death for us, His body given, His blood shed. Jesus is the guarantee. Now, I don't think I have to say this, but let me say it anyway. We know that Christ is not physically present in this supper. We know that the elements are not magically changed into the actual body and blood of Christ. And yet Christ is really present. He's present symbolically. He's present spiritually. He's present in a powerful way. And it is Christ's presence that explains why and how this is a seal and a real means of grace to us. Signs point us to reality. Seals involve ownership and application of those realities to us personally. And that means when we come to the table today, with the eyes of faith, you need to see yourself sitting with the King at His table, personally confirming and guaranteeing everything that is signified in this meal. Christ Himself is that seal of authenticity. Thirdly, we need to think about what it is that is being sealed or guaranteed to us. Now, neither the sign nor the seal create a reality. They testify to the truth of what has already been done by someone else. Well, I had to get my new driver's license, my 45th birthday, and Hannah ended up with my old one. And possession of my driver's license did not mean that she was Jason Rice and was able to drive a vehicle. Just like if you got a diploma at a garage sale. If you didn't graduate from school, it doesn't make you a graduate. A seal is not something magic, but it's a promise to a person who by grace alone, through faith alone, has what the document testifies to. The Lord's Supper is a seal. It's a guarantee to the believer, to one who has already been given saving faith, to one who is in a relationship with Christ. That's the point that Paul makes in Romans chapter 4. And on multiple occasions, he points out that Abraham had the reality of saving faith before he had the sign and seal of circumcision. But what are some of the things that are sealed to us in this sacrament? I think first and most obvious is Christ's death for your sins. His death for your sins, the elements really say it all. His body given. His blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. This is a visible sermon. Christ crucified is set before you. His death for your sins. And the promise is that not one of your sins will stand against you if you are in Christ. And that truth is sealed particularly with a cup, representative of His blood, meaning that it's a covenant promise sealed with the blood of the Savior. And Jesus held up that cup in the upper room and He said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." But secondly, Christ's righteousness credited to you, or His obedience imputed to you, is also sealed. Now when we hear Christ say, "This is my body given for you," we usually think about His body given on the cross. And I think that's certainly in view. But I think to the ancient reader, those words had a broader meaning. Because in the ancient world, a body was often associated with obedience, with faithful service. And I think this is confirmed in Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer is emphasizing Christ's perfect obedience in the place of his people as our representative. And he said, when Christ came into the world, he said, "A body you have prepared for me." A body set apart, not only to be given upon the cross, but to be given positively to obedience. Perfect obedience that would be credited to his people. And that is sealed to us. We come to the table with many, many sins. Much unrighteousness, much disobedience. And what is sealed to us when we come is the promise that in Christ we stand before God as righteous as he is. Declared to be righteous because of Christ. But thirdly, Christ's loving presence with you is sealed. Again, think about the image of coming to a table. We gather for a meal. It symbolizes and seals an intimate relationship. A table is a place of love and provision and care and intimacy. It's a place of communion with Jesus. We need to, with the eyes of faith, see him reclining at table with us, personally assuring us that he loves us, that he will never leave us or forsake us. But fourthly, Christ's sanctifying work in you is sealed to us. A meal is intended to strengthen and nourish so that you can press on in faith and obedience. And Christ at this table is promising that he will work in you to make you like him. And it's a promise that is sealed by the King himself by the sending of his Spirit. It's a common designation of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament that he is the seal. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, we read that in Christ, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. You have been sealed. You have the Holy Spirit, and despite all of our sin and all of our failing, Christ is saying, I am making you into my image, and one day you will stand before me without spot or blemish. But finally, Christ's return for you is being sealed. His return for you. And our Lord alludes to this in the upper room in Matthew 26, 29. And I think it's a beautiful image. He says, I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I think it's a statement that's often overlooked, but it really conveys the love of Christ for us. The image is almost of Christ in heaven, having set a table for his people, that there's a place for you at that table. And he's waiting. He's not going to eat or drink without you until you are there with him. Again, he said in that upper room in John 14, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I tried to think of a good way to illustrate this, but I think it's interesting that as a seal, you keep in mind that image of a king pressing his ring into that seal, that the seal looks like a little mini picture of the real thing. Kids, it would be like your parents giving you a little letter, and in that letter, it's promising you that, I don't know, on your 16th birthday, they will buy you a really nice car. And that little letter is sealed with a little sticker, and it's a picture of that car. A little mini picture of the real thing. And that's what this table as a seal is. It's a little mini picture, down payment of what awaits us in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so when we come to the table in true faith, Christ says to us, He's here with us, and He says, "You are mine. I was your atoning sacrifice. Your sins really are forgiven. I really am working in you by my Spirit to conform you to my image. And I will come again to take you as my bride to be with me where I am." And so friends, this sacrament is not just a memory, but it is a joyful meal in which we commune with the risen Savior. We know His presence and experience Him as our seal of authenticity, our living promise that all the truths that are signified in these elements are indeed ours in Him and through Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for condescending to our weakness. We thank You for speaking to us like the little children that we are, so that we can understand Your grace. We thank You for so loving us and being so patient with us, Lord, that You give us these visual signs and seals of Your covenant. Give us the eyes of faith as we come to the table today, that we might see the glorious realities that are both signified and sealed, guaranteed to us by our Savior Jesus. Lord, may we see Him and behold His glory, and may we be sanctified and strengthened to live for You, and may it be for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.